Fantastic. Everybody doing good? Listen, we're not in a hurry this next couple of days, and we're just going to allow the Lord just to take us somewhere. Is that okay? We don't do conferences for conference sake. We believe that whenever we come together and we just give away some time, time is a valuable currency. And you know, the time that people are giving tonight and tomorrow, it's valuable. We don't want to waste that time because time is expensive. Amen. And we're praying that as you invest time tonight and tomorrow, and that God will do good things in your life. I had one of those lovely moments in worship where the word that I was going to share tonight suddenly didn't seem relevant anymore, and any preacher that's here knows what that feels like. And you're left with a choice. Do you stick with a word that you were working on before you left the house, or do you go with God? One thing I've learned is you've got to stay with what's relevant. And relevance isn't anything external. Relevance is what's needed for the task at hand. That's relevant. You know, at Gate Beautiful, the man didn't actually need silver and gold. He needed a touch from God. And when they stood there without silver and gold, they were not irrelevant or irrelevant. They were relevant because they had what God had for him. Amen. And I just felt a shift in the praise and worship tonight. I know we got some different guests in from Teen Challenge, I believe. We got some guys in from Teen Challenge and from TLC and some other ministries around. Let's give you a big welcome tonight. It's so glad. We're so glad that you're here. So if it's okay with you, I'm going to go with the word that God's dropped on my heart. And it's totally unprepared. But hey, that's always the best ones, right? Hey, before we can ascend the hill of the Lord, we've got to know that we belong. Because if you don't feel you belong, you'll feel like a trespasser. And I just sensed that God wanted some people to know today, some people that call themselves Christians, that you're not trespassing when you say in your heart, I'm going to ascend Mount God. And I love the translation that says that. You know, Psalm 24 says, who will ascend the hill of the Lord? That's not who as in who do you think you are. I believe in this generation we're living, it's God saying, who wants me? Who's going to come higher? Who's going to break base camp to know me more? Who's going to be discontent with what they've known, even though it was great when you first knew it, and come up and know me more? Want to agitate that in your heart? Want to affect your sleep tonight? I want you to be annoyed by me when you're sleeping and you can't sleep, when something inside of you is saying, I want more of God. I want more of God. I don't want hype. I want more of God. There's something in me that wants more of God. Listen, if that's you, you're going to enjoy the next 24 hours, because my heart is to see a whole bunch of us ascend Mount God to know him more. Listen, it's time to break base camp. It's amazing that sometimes when you've been a Christian for a few years, you think, yeah, sin it, done it. How could we be so silly? You've sinned nothing yet. Some of the idols, you know, it says that when we ascend the hill of the Lord, we've got to deal with idols in our life. I love what A.W. Tozer says. He says that sometimes for Christians, the greatest idol is what you've made God in your mind. That's the idol you need to lay down. Sometimes we need some of that Tozer truth. But for Christians, sometimes they don't worship God because their idol of God is getting in the way. Oh, he's a lovely... No, God's bigger than you've imagined. If you think you know God, that what you know is the idol in your life from knowing who he is. We're talking about a God that flings stars into space when he's bored. You think you know God. You know what he's revealed of himself to you that you would know him. God is bigger. Oh, in the next 24 hours that suddenly we would come back to a big God and lay down our idols. Oh, he's a loving father. Yeah, he is, but he's much more than that. Oh, he's a good shepherd. Put that idol down. He wants to introduce himself to you in a way you've never known him before. But you've got to understand, you can't expect to stand on a holy mountain unless you know you're holy. And you won't know you're holy until you realize he's made you holy. And often in meetings and conferences, I see Christians not being able to enjoy God like he wants them to enjoy them, because there's something going on in their heart that they don't belong. Oh, if you really knew me. Oh, God doesn't really want me. He wants them. But no, you've got to understand, he has made you holy. Well, I don't feel holy. I don't ask you how you feel. No one's asking you how you feel. Too much modern Christianity has been asking people how they feel. We don't want to know how we want you to feel. We want to know what the Word of God says over your life. So tonight, I just want to speak a real simple message that's on my heart. I was worshiping, and again, you know, the message changed. And oh, what a message that other one was. It's brilliant. It was fantastic. I have a message that I'm not doing now. It was awesome. It was brilliant. Hey, we'll see. We might be able to pull it out tomorrow. We'll have a look. But what I want to talk today is you've got to know where you start so you can carry on. You've got to know your origin. You've got to understand what the gospel declares over you. Now, I'm just going to preach the gospel tonight. Is that all right? Anybody bored of it? Heard it all before? Listen, I started to pray recently, Lord, I want to see what Paul saw when he preached the gospel. Because when I read when Paul preached the gospel, demons were driven out, lives were set free, people were risen from the dead. When I preach the gospel, they put the kettle on, or they make a cup of tea, or we have no. Because Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone." And I think we've become far too familiar with the gospel. And we've got to understand the gospel is still powerful in our life today. And then I look out, because our pastor, we got family churches, one church and a few congregations. And sometimes, I'm sure every pastor does this, we look out and you see some people that seem to get it and other people that don't seem to get it. You preach the same message. You preach the same gospel. And you see some people and they just seem to break free from stuff that's been holding their life. Find liberty that Christ wants them to have, begin to ascend, and their life begins to change. But sadly, sometimes as a pastor, you look out and you see people that don't seem to be affected at all, and they still struggle with the things they struggled with, and they still seem to battle the things that the other people seem to got free of, and it leaves you with questions. And to me, you know, one of my conclusions is simply this. I think we take people to new life too quickly. And we don't bring them through the corridor of death correctly. Because if you haven't worked out your death completely, you'll never be fully alive in Christ. And I think, actually, Christians today, we've got too many zombies. It's like the Walking Dead out there. Come on, it's like the Walking Dead out there. What do I mean by that? We've got men and women, good, sincere men and women that love God, but can't get free from things that gripped who they used to be because they've never drawn a line of finality that the gospel demands is drawn. I'm going to preach a little bit tonight and then I'm going to let Paul preach because he preaches the gospel better than me, if that's all right. I'm going to preach for a bit and then we're just going to read Romans 6 together. Because some of this good news is really good news. Do you know that the word gospel means good news, right? Some of you need to tell your face. This is good news. This is good news. But you won't understand it's good news until you realize it doesn't just introduce you to a new life. First, it brings you through the gateway of death. Because unless you're dead, you can't experience resurrection. And the plan of God, according to Jesus, was a man must be born again. But think about it, you can't be born again unless something's passed away. You can't be born again unless something's passed away. Paul said, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. You can't be a new creation until an old creation has been dealt with. Listen, the gospel declares over us today, I don't care if you've been saved 20 years, if you've never got this, you need to get this tonight. That the gospel declares not just the new life that's yours in Jesus, but the death of the old one. Now think about this for a moment. God cannot lay life on top of life. There has to be death. God cannot lay life on top of life. There has to be a death before there can be a life. There has to be a death before there can be a resurrection. Many people don't live in the resurrection life in this life because they've never established in their heart by revelation that the old person they used to be is dead. Well, this gospel's not very nice. It's very nice. It's very nice. Because I started to preach, I started to say, Lord, I want to see people changed like Paul saw them changed. And I really felt the Lord say to me, well, preach the gospel he preached. You want to see the results he saw? There you go, I nearly wiped out myself there. It's all right, I would have rose myself up. Don't worry about it. Don't need to move or anything. If you want to see the results he saw, preach the gospel he preached. And that, I was a little bit insulted, to tell you the truth. So I went back and I looked at my gospel and I realized the problem with my gospel was there wasn't enough death in it. Because unless there's death, you have coexistence. Unless there's death, there's an old man and a new man coexisting, and it depends how you feel any particular morning, which one you're going to act like. But when you realize one is gone and one is here, old has gone and new has come, there's a liberty. Tonight I want some of you to dance on your grave. I want you to dance on your grave, because you'll never be free until you've danced on your grave. Or we could just preach behavior management. How you feel tonight? I don't care how you feel. You need the truth of what God declares over you. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Can't you preach that nice gospel where he pays for our sins? No. I want to preach a gospel that doesn't just pay for your sins, it kills the sinner. I want to preach a gospel, and it may upset some people, but I'm tired of watching people struggle with things they don't need to struggle with because they haven't had a revelation of their spiritual death in Christ. I'm going to preach a bit tonight. Paul is going to preach a bit tonight. Then we're going to kill some people. Because face it, some of you half died many years ago. Seriously, it's like watching Walking Dead. You'll never be fully alive until you're fully dead. It's simple, right? You'll never be fully alive until you're fully dead. And you'll never be fully dead until you realize that Christ killed the sinner. He didn't just pay for your sin. Oh, well, that's not very nice. The gospel isn't. It's a gospel of murder. He killed the sinner. You are no longer a sinner. And when you face the fact, you'll begin to live like that. You say, well, I'm not sure about this. I am. The new creation worked 2,000 years ago when it was preached, and it will work today. Back, I think it was 25 years ago. How long have I been married? 25 years. 25 years ago, I had the privilege of living in Yonkers, New York, and a lovely little village. Lovely little village, that one. Flowers everywhere, gunshots going. No, lovely. And the Lord sent me to live in a drug rehab. Not as a client. But if you looked at the life I had before I gave my life to Christ, I had more addictions than any. I don't know. I was messed up. I needed a savior. Amen. But my job in the drug rehab center, and its name was Shepherd's Flock, was every Monday and every Friday I had to teach the men the new creation. And all I had was my Bible. And we just started to speak about if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. When the Holy Spirit began to water those words, we saw men set free. But apparently, according to what experts say, couldn't be free. And do you know where it all rose and fell? On the individual's understanding of the death of who they used to be. Because we've got to get this in our hearts. The gospel declares he killed the sinner. Now, if a sinner's dead, who are you? You're not a sinner anymore. But some vicars don't help, do they? Sometimes when I'm teaching this stuff, people will come and they'll say, well, my vicar taught me that I'm a sinner saved by grace. Well, he's lying to you. I don't know how to break that to you any nicer. You're one or the other. Depending where you are identifying your life right now, you can't be both, because that would mean what Jesus did didn't work.
But we want to compensate our pet sins by accommodating doctrines that have got no power in them to change our life. But when we begin to agree with the gospel that Paul preached, we can see sins that have held your life. Let go tonight and never grip you again. Amen. This gospel has to work today because it's worked for 2,000 years. We need the courage to preach it, right? But my vicar's a nice guy. I'm sure he is. And he taught me that I'm a sinner saved by grace. No, you're a sinner or you're saved by grace. Which one are you going to identify with? Because you can't be both. That makes you a spiritual zombie or a Christian schizophrenic. Imagine if Paul was confused about his identity. What a mess that would have been. Some days he felt like Saul, but other days he felt like Paul. We give our feelings too much leadership in our life. Your soul is meant to be under the authority of the Spirit of God now in you. But we keep the Spirit saying, oh no, business as usual. No business as usual. I want to pray for some men and some women tonight, and I want you to dance on your grave and walk away free from things that have gripped your life. We're going to lay hands on some people. We're going to pray for some people tonight, and we're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ over your life. But tonight, right here, you don't need a preparation class. We could flood the ditch outside and baptize you at the end of a meeting. Or fill the tank. No, it's too clean. You know, some people, do you know the problem with churches? We make everything so clinical and nice, people don't get the point. We do. Let's have a baptismal service, nice chlorinated water, nice little white gown and a sweet old woman holding a towel when you've finished, cup of tea or coffee, whichever one you want. Follow, I will follow. Some people just don't get the point of what's happening. It's your burial. It's your burial. Remember, anything that the Lord left in the New Testament church requires faith to be added before it works. I think some people, seriously, we would do them a better service taking them out to the church grounds, digging a 6-foot hole, chucking them in, giving them a piece of string, burying them, and when they get the point of what's happening, they tug the string, and we let them back up. I know I'll be arrested. I know I'll be deported. But if somebody could get free, I'd probably do it. Because we've made the gospel no longer brutal. Jesus died a death he didn't need to die. He provided a death for you. He didn't need one. He had no sin. He was sinless. He went to the cross to provide a death for us. When we believe in the gospel, we identify with the death of another and we make it our own as if it happened because it did. Then we go through the waters of baptism or the ground, whichever one you prefer. And when we walk away from our baptism, we're meant to look back and say, I don't live there anymore. And get on with a new life. You say you're preaching ideals. Now I'm preaching the gospel to you. Oh, but I was taught that I've got two natures. A good dog and a bad dog. Shoot one of them. Is this too full on for you? Because I don't know how confused you're going to be if you don't. I know that Paul wasn't confused about the gospel we preach. He actually believed it himself. Otherwise, you would have seen Saul waking up one morning. I don't feel like Saul today. I feel like Paul today. Imagine if Paul suddenly felt like Saul and he's sitting with all the other disciples. He whips out a machete and whacks off about three of their heads. And then says, oh, sorry, I got in the skin for a moment. Oh, that was the old man, sorry. The other disciples like, who are you going to be tomorrow? That's not why Jesus Christ gave his life. He said, who the Son sets free is free indeed. But until we place faith in the gospel, we won't get the benefits of climbing Mount God, because a lot of people don't enjoy the indwelling of the Spirit because they actually don't think they're holy, because they don't know what Jesus did to make them holy. So if you're saying, Holy Spirit, fill me, but inside your mind is saying, I'm not holy, I'm a dirty old sinner. You know for a fact, holy can't live in unholy. So there had to be something that happened that was powerful that made unholy holy so that you could get the Holy Spirit to live in you, right? Yeah. Just thinking out loud. You were made holy. You were washed. You were born again. You know, when the devil comes to me to play, I let him know, sorry, that guy died. I was at his funeral. Because if I go and play with him, I'll act like I shouldn't, and I'll be who I'm not. You got to draw a line in the sand. You got to draw a line. You'll never ascend the hill of the Lord like God wants you to. Until you draw a line in the sand that speaks of your origin. Which side of a line are you going to stand on? How are you going to introduce yourself? Well, I'm this and I'm bound by this and I've got these. Or are you going to cross the line and say, I'm a new creation, hallelujah. The power of God is sanctifying me. He's working in me. He's changing me. I'm going from glory to glory. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so he will be. If you think you're a sinner, you'll keep living like a sinner. But the moment you realize you are now the righteousness of Christ, you're the righteousness of God in Christ, you'll get up tomorrow morning and you won't want to do certain things. You say, I've got some questions that are going to catch you out. I dare you. This stuff has changed my life. Are you saying you don't sin anymore? Oh, no, I sin all the time. Oh, unless we're making sin just sleeping with other people's wives and a hand. Listen, sin is pride, arrogance, unforgiveness. There's a big old category of what sin is. Here's the difference. When I wake up in the morning, I know now that I don't have to sin because the sinner died. If I sin now, it's by choice, not obligation. The new creation doesn't have to sin. He chooses to sin because the nature of sin was broken when you died. I know this is ruining people's excuses for their little pet sins. Let's just kill some tonight. Let's bury them as well. So you're saying you sin. I don't live to sin. The choice to sin is mine. If I'm walking, this is awesome what God provided. If I'm walking through life and I didn't get out of bed to sin, but all of a sudden I look in the mirror and say, oh, you're good. And pride enters or something like that. That's a joke. I don't really do that. I don't do that. The Bible says that the Lord's made provision for that. 1 John 1 says, if I sin, I confess my sin to the Father, and he is faithful to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Not only did he kill the sinner in my new birth, but he also gave me a provision that I can come before him and experience the cleansing of God over every sin. Because where there's forgiveness, where there's confession of sin, there's forgiveness of sin. But here's the point I'm getting to. The desire to sin is gone. I now desire to please my God. But if I trip over, I'm shutting the devil down, because I used to trip over and it cost me 3 months of condemnation. Right? Didn't you? Oh, I said I wouldn't do that. And the devil's... Now I say, hey, I blew it. We were all there. Father, my Father, you've made forgiveness of sin my provision in the new creation. I confess my sin, and thank you right now. I receive full forgiveness and the cleansing from it in Jesus' name. Sorry, devil, we're out of here. What was that, 10 seconds? It's sorted. Amen. All right, let's just get back to the origins here. You got to acknowledge tonight that your sinner is dead. The sinner man who you used to be is dead. Jesus killed him, her, and you entered into that death the moment you identified with the death of Christ. You entered into your own burial the moment you identified with the burial of Christ. But you also entered in to the resurrection, to newness of life, simply by identifying with Christ. We don't like this gospel because we're not involved. If he needed your help, he'd ask. Everything we get involved in, we defile. He's secured salvation without your permission or agreement. You have a choice to step into it. Only one thing will bring you into full salvation: faith. All right, should we let Paul preach? He's better than me. You all right tonight? Some of you, seriously, are looking at me like I've just made this up. It is too good to be true, but it is true. All right, let's let Paul preach. He's better than me. He always has been. What shall we say then? Verse 1 of chapter 6. You don't mind if I read some Bible? I know it's not that trendy today to read more than like a verse or something, but I'm going to read a big chunk. Is that all right? Because I want you, Holy Spirit, as I read these words, let a fresh revelation hit the spirit of your people. That not only, Lord, did you pay for their sin, but you have killed the sinner. All right, everyone is sick of the word death. I hadn't even started. Listen how Paul gets into it. What should we say then? Should we go on sinning so that grace may increase? That's a common teaching today, but it's wrong. It's a common teaching today. Oh, sin, there's no such thing as sin. Sin as you want. No. They just put, Paul hadn't finished. He took a breath. His response, by no means. So should we carry on sinning so that grace can abound? By no means. I love what the King James says. Gracious no. The English just do it well, don't they? I mean, seriously. Goodness no. Gracious no. Now listen. I just want you to include yourself in this tonight, then we're going to pray. I want you to include you in these verses. I've got the same Bible as you. I've not adapted one. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? It was there all the time. Paul also says, doesn't he, that a man is bound to a woman or a woman's bound to a man as long as they're alive. But the moment death takes place, the covenant and the agreement is over. The covenant of Satan, temptation, sin, and wickedness on your life was broken when you died. But what we do is we rush new believers to new life because it sounds beautiful. Now, let's not bring them to the flowers straight away. Let's bring them through the ground so that they can look behind and say, that's not me anymore. Here we go. Okay, can I carry on? We died to sin. How can we live any longer in it? This is a good message, really, isn't it? For changing it at the last moment. It's all right, isn't it? Well, thanks for that underwhelming response. It was really encouraging. Gave me a passion to continue like I've never experienced before. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Not in heaven. Here. Not in heaven, here. Not in heaven, where one day I'll fly away, oh glory. Someone open the window and let them people out. They're getting on my nerves. You want to go to heaven that bad? Go, for goodness sake. Sorry, we're holding you back. I ain't coming with you. I'm enjoying my life. I love my life. I love my wife. I'm enjoying this life because I've got a purpose to win the world. I just need some people to help me. That's all. I'll do it on my own if I need to. That was arrogant. Forgive me, Lord. Cleanse me from that. Thank you. Obviously, I'm good. I'm good. We're good. All right. Stop distracting me. Here we are. That we too may live a new life. Here we go. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will also be united with him in his resurrection. What's the Lord saying? If you joined in one bit, you join in all bits. So if you can acknowledge your death and your resurrection, you have to acknowledge the other third, which is your resurrection in Christ. Amen? Death, burial, resurrection. For we know, can I leave you with three words tonight? If you forget everything else I've said, three words. I'm going to tell you them in advance so you can get a head start to write them down. Ready? Know, reckon, present. You get those three words sorted in your life and you will be free from every plan of the devil to hold you back. Know, reckon, present. Here we go. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we're also going to live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, death no longer has dominion over him. I've skipped forward, sorry. Verse 6. For we know that our old man was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with. Tonight, we must know. Not in the processor of our mind, but as my mum used to call it, in the knower of your spirit. She said, when you know in your knower, when you've done the good fight of faith and got it from your head to your knower, when you know you've died, when you know your old man has died, there's a freedom that you'll never buy in this life. Now in England, it's a funny expression, isn't it, Wendy? We call our natural fathers our old man. It's like my old man. You might have heard the famous song, my old man's a dustman. We refer to my natural father. But Paul isn't using that context. He's talking about who you used to be. Remember, it doesn't work unless you know this. And we know that our old man is not joined to our new man, has no obligation to our new man, was crucified with Christ. Let's skip down to verse 11. Now that we know, in the same way, we now reckon ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. I don't know how I've read this for so many years and didn't see it like I'm seeing it now. Number one, it starts with us knowing and drawing a conclusion. My old man was crucified with Christ. I'm not a zombie. I'm not who I used to be. I won't know myself by who I used to be. But now I'll do what Paul's telling me to do. I'm just going to reckon myself dead. This is so easy. It's crazy, isn't it? Reckon is an accounting term. And an accounting term, it basically means get all the figures on the page, draw a big fat line under them and add them up for yourself and get a conclusion, for goodness sake. And the only conclusion the Word of God will give you is that you're not who you used to be anymore, so stop living like it. You're not under the grip of what held you, so no longer see yourself under a grip and begin to walk like the free man and the free woman that Christ says you now are. If anything can beat this principle, it's God and God isn't. Come on, we've got to begin to place faith and then we'll experience the juice. All right, I'm nearly done. So in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. And then it says, therefore, when you've done this, just don't let sin reign in your mortal body anymore so that you obey what is evil's desires. It's simple, right? Number one, you say, am I old or am I new? Am I a sinner or am I a saint? Am I dead or am I born again? All right, number two. Let me add that up for myself. It's true. It's true. Hallelujah! It's true! All right, what do I do now? Okay, Paul. Oh, I don't turn up to work to sin anymore because I'm no longer a sinner. I turn up to work to God. Word three, and I present myself to the Lord. This is awesome. I'm preaching myself happy here. I'm going to rush forward in a minute. I don't know. Then it says, don't offer the parts of your body to sin. And what it's speaking of is the context is, because you're not sinning anymore. Why would you do that? Not, don't offer ourselves to sin. It's, why would you do that even? Unless you still think you're a sinner. Rather, it says don't, it's not saying live in limbo. Don't offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves now to God as those, listen to this, as those who have been bought from death to life. As those who have been brought from death to life. Now offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master anymore because you are not under law, you are under grace. This is powerful. This is powerful. This is powerful. This will set you free. If we agree with the gospel and stop agreeing with the other gospels that we've replaced it with. Lesser gospels. We've got to remove lesser gospels and begin to say, what did Paul preach? Paul wasn't confused. I'm confused. Let me begin to agree with Paul. Let me just walk you through the process again. This is my daily process. Every morning I pray this now. I wake up and I say, thank you, Lord. My old man was crucified with you. I have no attachment, obligation to that person. Thank you that I was at his funeral. I reckon myself now dead to sin, but alive to you. So I'd be an idiot if I turned up to work to sin because I don't work there anymore. So where do I work now? For him. So now, Lord, know, reckon, present. I present the new creation to you for your purposes. And that ties in with Romans 12. I beseech you now, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present yourself as living sacrifices. But what do many Christians do? Because they're ignorant, they present the old creation to God daily. Newsflash, he doesn't want it. How would you feel if someone kept bringing you a corpse? Seriously. Morning, knock, knock. Oh, hello again. You think God enjoys it? There's a knock at the door. Oh, I know who this is. How are you doing? Oh, yeah, ripe. Put it back where it belongs. Because you're alive. So now, this is what I used to do for 24 years of my life. I used to jump out of bed and present myself to sin. Not consciously. I didn't say, oh, sin, here I am. I just did it because it was my nature of the old creation. And I said, sinning just came natural to me. I didn't even have to think about it. I didn't even have to think. It was like I was born to do it. So all I did is I turned up and said, hey, sin, it's me. What's my workload for today? Oh, I'll punch some innocent person in the face when you're drunk. Not a problem. I've got that covered. But the Bible says that now that I know and I've reckoned, I wake up in the morning and I say, thank you, Lord, the old man's dead. Thank you. I've been broken off from an old tree and I've been grafted into a new one. Hey, there's a hole where I used to be, but I'm not there anymore. Because the Bible says if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. I'm not going to agree with my feelings. I'm going to agree with the word of God. You say I am a new creation, then a new creation I am. You say I've been broken off of a wild olive tree and I've been grafted back into the tree of life. Then grafted in I have been. So today, Lord, I present myself to you. And I'm ready for what you want to do. Use my members, use my tongue, use my mind, use every part of who I am for your purposes, God, because my life is no longer my own. I was bought with a price. This life now belongs to you, and yours it will be. You do that for 21 days, and you'll develop a habit that will change your life. Or we can go, good message. Wake up tomorrow morning and go, dirty sinner that I am. You've wasted my breath. Wasted it. Do you know how important my breath is to me? Come on, let the Holy Spirit water this in your heart right now. Right now. It's about time for some of you to dance on your grave. Now, obviously, in natural context, that has no appropriate outworking. But in your spiritual one, it does. The moment you've danced on your grave, my friend, you are free. The moment you've danced on your grave and you know that's not you anymore, then you get on with life, conscious of who you no longer are. This is a gospel that will set people free. This is a gospel that will break chains. This is a gospel that will stop people living in excuses and theories and get them actually living as they are. Listen, here's my final statement. You're not who you used to be. You're not who you used to be. You are not who you used to be. I don't care how you feel, you're not who you used to be. The moment you begin to agree with Romans 6, your life will come into the liberty, the glorious liberty that Christ purchased for you to know. We don't like it because we weren't involved. Because you weren't involved doesn't mean it didn't happen. Let me just finish with this and we're going to pray for some of you. All right, here's my mobile phone. Some of you have seen this before. Oh, here's a business card here. That's better. Here's a business card for somebody that works for State Farm. Oh, that's interesting. They slipped that in my Bible pretty quick. Now, if that card's yours, if that's you, and this is Christ. Now, stay with me because I know this is simple, but we've got to say it again. This is what Romans 6 declares. By faith, your life is hidden in Christ. Agreed? That's what the Bible says. What happens to this now happens to that which is within it. So if I take this Bible and I put it down here, what is in it is down there. Agreed? If I take this Bible and I stick it in the baptismal tank, what's in the Bible is in the baptismal tank. And if I take this Bible out and put it on the roof, what's in it is in the on the roof. The moment you believed, your life, even though it was 2,000 years ago, because God lives outside of time and space. If you think God lives by your watch and your calendar, thou deceivest thyself. He's outside of time and space. C.S. Lewis put it so well when he said, put a little line on a big white page and you'll understand what your life is in eternity. He's outside of time and space. 2,000 years ago, he included you and me in his death, burial. Praise God, some churches stop there, we don't. And resurrection. But today, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. You say, you're just arrogant. No, I'm really not. I'm just speaking over me what the word says. I remember I was working in an inner city camp. We took a load of kids from the city away, and one of the kids just had it in for me. A few of them did, actually. I remember standing in the queue. I was just like this little English guy. And we took all these kids away from the Bronx, and I remember standing in the lunch queue trying to communicate. And I remember it was this little kid, and I went to him, how are you doing? He said, I'm going to kill you in your sleep tonight. I thought, well, welcome to New York. Didn't sleep much that night. But I can remember this one kid added into it, and she kept saying over, who do you think you are? She kept saying it to me. I'd be like, sitting on a chair, minding my own business. Who do you think? It was like the voice of the enemy. Who do you think you are? In the end, I had enough. I said, all right, where do we get started? I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm the apple of his eye. I'm a diamond in his ring. I am loved. I'm a son. I'm a child of God. Would you like me to continue? You say, no, you're arrogant. No, I'm not arrogant. I'm telling you who you are as well. Because unless you know who you are, you'll live differently. And the Bible says that he, that is God, made him, that is Christ, who knew no sin, to become sin for you, that you would become the righteousness of God in Christ, not when you die, but when you believe. Amen. Now stay with me. The moment you understand that you're the righteousness of God in Christ, you understand that the unholy is now holy. All right? Now, when you know you're holy, you can welcome a Holy Spirit to come and live in you. Because if you don't know you're holy, you'll always have a conflict of asking a holy God to come and live in you. But when you know you've been regenerated by a holy God, you can welcome him to then make your life his temple. And in him you live, move, and have your being. All right, we've done some work tonight. Can I just get the worship team up, keyboard player? Someone just to lead us in some worship. Holy Spirit, I need you to water this tonight. I need you to water this. I don't want this to be words. I want this to be a revelation that changes people's lives. I want addictions to be broken tonight. Not because of me, but because of what your word declares. I want addictions to be broken. I want long-term sins to be walked away from tonight. I want revelation. Holy Spirit, please, Holy Spirit, water these words in the hearts of these men and women. Lord, as we start this great weekend, Lord, we can't start until we know where we begin. Lord, tomorrow we can run up the hill of the Lord and come higher because we know we belong. We're no longer trespassers. We belong on Mount God because you've made us worthy. Just sit there for a moment, just for a moment. Holy Spirit, please just begin to minister to men and women. I'm not going to whip up a frenzy. I'm not going to put on a show. I'm grown up since those days. Holy Spirit, would you just begin to let Romans 6 explode in the hearts of men and women tonight? You are dead. You are buried. And you are now alive in Christ. If you sin now, it's because you choose to. You don't have to. Because the grip was broken. When you agree with what the word says, you can walk free from anything that's held your life. I was addicted. One of my addictions was alcohol. I had a grip on me, and one day I walked away from it. Didn't make sense. But I know I could go back to it tomorrow. But I'm not, because I'm remaining in who I am. I was addicted to cigarettes and a whole bunch of stuff I don't really want to make public because that ain't me now. That's an old guy that died. He was ugly. I'm a new creation. You've got to begin to... But you don't know what I've done. I'm not asking you what you've done. I'm saying, will you agree with the word? Because we can whip up a frenzy here tonight and I can squeeze your head like a cantaloupe melon and make you pass out on the floor for days. Or we can just agree with the word of God, which will last more than a moment. I was addicted and I was set free by this stuff. This stuff. I'm not saying I got it overnight, but a night started, and from that night I began to get freer and freer like a snowball rolling down a hill. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Who the Son sets free is free. And you say, what are you doing? I'm just letting the Holy Spirit do what only the Holy Spirit can do. He's cutting through chains right now. It was for freedom that Christ has set you free. No longer to be subject to a yoke of slavery. Freedom, freedom. He died for your freedom. He died for your freedom. Your freedom. Right now, freedom is breaking out in people's hearts. Right now. Now, I know we're all used to crying and laying on the floor and all that stuff. We can do that in a minute if you want. But right now, God is setting people free. Just begin to agree with his word that you're not who you used to be. Just begin to agree with the word of God that you are no longer a sinner. He killed the sinner. Please just grab that in your heart tonight and agree with the word that Christ killed the sinner. He didn't deal with the disease. He dealt with the source. He killed the sinner. He killed the sinner. If you want to sin now, you can, but you don't have to. He killed the sinner. His death was your death too. Let's just stand to our feet all over this place. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This is who we are. In a moment, we pass from death to life. In a moment, you give us everything, and we spend the rest of our days working out what you gave us. The moment we believe, we come into full possession of everything you have for us. We spend the rest of our days working out how wonderfully you saved us. Guys, you've got to get this in your heart. It took me too long to say amen to this. Took me too long to say amen. But the moment I began to say amen, the chains fell off. Not on Sunday morning, in my secret world where things had me bound. I can remember walking through stores and looking at liquor that held me going, you can't touch me now. You can't touch me. Your contract was with somebody that died. You can't touch me. You can't touch me. Addiction, you can't touch me. Your contract was with another man. I was at his funeral. And now I know it. All over this place, I'm not asking you if you're a sinner or a saint. But if tonight this word is spoken to your heart and you say, tonight I'm walking away from me. Tonight I'm walking away from things that have bound me. Tonight the Holy Spirit's touching my heart. I'm not going to interview you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I don't know what you've done. I don't want to know what you've done. I wouldn't want someone interviewing me. I want to say, will you cross a line today? I don't know whether you've been saved 30 years or saying you've been saved 30 years, but you've never heard the gospel preached like this. But tonight you say, I get it. Tonight I want to walk into my new life. I want to walk in to the new life that Christ purchased for me. I'm not going to interview you. I don't care how long you've been saved. I know people that say they've been saved for 40 years, but they've never believed this. So they've never been fully saved the way that the Lord wanted them to. If tonight you say, this has spoken to my heart. I feel the Holy Spirit setting me free. I want to be free. Andy, I believe what you're preaching is true. I want you to step out of your chair and I want you to come forward. I want you to defy pride. I want you to defy pride and come forward and stand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want you to draw a line in your sand right now. Come, we'll push some chairs back. We don't mind about that. You come on forward. I want Pastor Jerome and Brenda to come forward. Derek, Roddy, Josh. We're just going to begin to lay hands on you. Not interview you. God knows what's going on. Just come on forward. Come on forward. Some people are going to get set free tonight. Some people are going to get set free and they're going to walk out of here walking in their freedom. Tonight, God's going to begin a good work and he's going to be faithful to complete it. What have you got to lose? If everything I've said is not true, you've lost nothing. But if what I'm saying is true, tonight something can break on your life and liberate you. I know because he did it for me. Come on, this first night of empower. Father, we take you at your word tonight. We take you at your word. Your word says salvation provides the death of an old man. Your word declares the death of the sinner. Your word declares the death of the sinner and the resurrection of a new creation. Father, tonight, every man and woman that's standing here, whatever sin, addiction, hang-up, loneliness, whatever's gripped them too long, tonight you break the knuckles, Father. You break the knuckles of the grip and people begin to get free in the Holy Ghost from deep inside of them. Holy Spirit, move upon these people right now with your power and your authority. Who the Son sets free is free indeed.